Good evening, everyone. It's Saturday, June 19th, 2021. Happy Juneteenth. We have a great show planned for you this evening. We're less than a month away from Major League Baseball's All-Star Game in Denver, Colorado. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk to baseball this evening. Later on in the show, I will be joined by one of the members of the Baseball Writers Association, Brian Dulick. Brian will talk about the process for electing members to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Also joining us on the show will be Andrew DiCecco from 97.3 ESPN South Jersey. Andrew covers the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles made headlines earlier this year when they fired Super Bowl winning coach Doug Peterson and traded quarterback Carson Wentz. So if you're an Eagles fan, you don't want to miss this show. The Mean Gene Show is brought to you by Presidential Limousine by Captain. It's the official limousine service of the Mean Gene Show. There's absolutely no way you can experience Las Vegas until you ride in a Presidential Limousine by Captain. If you come to Las Vegas, make sure you make your reservations now by calling 702-438-5466, or you can text them 702-410-6057. They will respond to you right away. Once again, you can call them 702-438-5466, or you can text them 702-410-6057. The show is also brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Experience the award-winning soul of Motown. This is a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. It's a must-see show during your Las Vegas vacation getaway. For reservations, call 888-796-3564. 888-796-3564. So I just recently got back from Chicago in Milwaukee. Had a chance to catch game 4 of the Milwaukee Bucks versus Brooklyn Nets game last Sunday. What a game it was. You know, this was my first time ever in Milwaukee. Been to Chicago many times, never been to Milwaukee. And of course, I did not know how close Milwaukee was to Chicago. So I actually drove up to Milwaukee, really enjoyed it. And the next day on Monday, I had a chance to catch the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds game at American Family Field. And that was another great experience to be there at the ballpark. The Milwaukee Brewers are playing great baseball. They are actually, I think, first place in the American League Central. But earlier that day, and this was probably one of the highlights of my trip, earlier in the day, I just happened to be walking downtown, kind of, you know, getting in the scenery in downtown Milwaukee. And I was actually approached by an ABC camera crew, Channel 12, local, the local channel there. And I was asked about the Bucks Brooklyn Nets series. And of course, I had something to say about it. And so that was quite interesting. And so yes, Mean Gene was on TV in Milwaukee, and I enjoyed every minute of my 15 minutes of fame. So, but now back to the baseball game. So I had club seats, actually the first row in the club seat section. And so I was actually in the first row there. And I had to actually move up a couple of rows so I could see home plate, because if I sat back in my seat, I'm looking at the top of the rail there, and I couldn't really see home plate or the field or the bases. And as soon as I got up and moved up a couple of rows, what do you know? A foul ball hit the seat that I was originally sitting in. And now look, folks, I'm 57, right? My ass is way too old to be diving for foul balls. But a young kid ran over and grabbed the ball, which was really cool with me, so I didn't have a problem with that. So, but anyway, while we're on the subject of baseball, I mean, I just thought it was a great time to cover some baseball and get into a little bit of what's going on. The Baseball Hall of Fame, as you know, folks, it's not easy to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And this is the time now where some of those players back in the 90s that we thought were just great, and they were great, but there was one problem. That was the steroid era. Back in the 90s, we're talking about Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, and that was huge. That was really huge. So I thought it was a great opportunity to get a little bit more insight on this. So I hope you enjoyed this interview with Brian Dulick. Brian is a writer for Actually, he's a member of the Baseball Writers Association. My next guest is a three-time Associated Press best sports columnist in Ohio. He's also a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America. He covers the Cleveland Indians, who, by the way, are only four games out of first place in the American League Central Division behind the Chicago White Sox. Please welcome to the show, Brian Dulick. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Mean Gene, it's great to talk to you.
Hey, Brian, same here, man. Thanks for coming on the show. I want to read a statement from Cooperstown. I guess this was released earlier this year. And it says, for the second time in the last 8 years and the ninth time in 77 total years of balloting by the Baseball Writers Association of America for the National Baseball Hall of Fame, no candidate received the amount of votes necessary to gain election to the game's shrine. So, Brian, if you don't mind, can you explain to my listeners exactly what that means and why no players received the necessary votes to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Unfortunately, at this point, a lot of writers who are in the Baseball Writers Association for at least 10 years, those are the people who do cast the ballots, they don't believe that that there are players who've passed the off-the-field test as far as high character to get in, because it's not like there are tons of legitimate Hall of Famers, but they're just never going to get in until this current group of electors kind of cycles out and is out of the business, because they're holding serious grudges against those from the steroid era, and certainly Pete Rose being another example. But it's a real shame. You've got a lot of players like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens specifically who put up Hall of Fame numbers well before there was a hint of impropriety with performance-enhancing drugs. But again, until the electors change, this isn't going to change, and we may be stuck with this situation several more times in the next decade.
That is amazing. So now, and we mentioned, you know, that no players were elected, but we do have some players that will be inducted come next month in Cooperstown. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, you are, because you have the Veterans Committee, and also, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the committee right now, but the former players and managers also is now eligible to vote in players under a separate election. And this is what really rubs me the worst about the fact that no modern players from the writer's ballot have gotten in. This is how someone like Harold Baines was able to get into the Hall of Fame last year, or was it 2 years ago? Well, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But basically because he made a lot of friends in the business with players and managers. And Harold Baines played for the Indians, played for the White Sox, played for the Orioles, but for a lot of teams in the American League was a very good player. But I don't think anyone in their right mind would consider him a Hall of Famer, which is why he cycled off the ballot and was not eligible to even get in anymore through the writers' vote, because, frankly, he didn't even come close to passing the smell test or the stat test.
That's amazing. Folks, once again, we're talking with Brian Dulick, baseball sports writer for the Medina Gazette, which covers the Cleveland Indians here on the Mean Gene Show. So, Brian, I got to ask now, and if you don't know, that's fine. But, I mean, how is it? What's the difference between the sports writers who elect the Basketball Hall of Fames and the Pro Football Hall of Fames? What are the differences in your criteria?
It's a really strange setup, because all four major leagues have very different voting bodies. In baseball, it is just 10-year members of the Baseball Writers Association of America, and it's a several-year process before you're even invited to join that group. So it's people who've been around baseball, who cover a minimum of half of a team's home schedule every year for a good number of years. In football, it is a group of long-standing media members who, in many cases, are no longer even working in the business, but who are historians. And that is a very contentious public process in a meeting every year that they hold during Super Bowl weekend. And you see some favors being pulled and some players who are held out by a couple of angry voters year after year. In basketball, it is a committee of the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. And since it's the only non-league-specific Hall of Fame, it includes everything in the world of basketball.
Right.
Which is why at some point you probably will see the NBA declare its own Hall of Fame down the road, but probably from allegedly the talk around the league, not till the league approaches its 100th anniversary, and God willing, we'll still be around in 25 years when it happens. But and in hockey, it's very similar to basketball, where it is basically an NHL Hall, but it's a group of influential people within the game, as opposed to anyone else who decides. So it's a very, very diverse set of rules. And honestly, I think the baseball and football setups are the best.
Okay.
But when you get a line of thinking and people who are very close-minded on a subject or don't want to see the truth as far as players who preceded all of us had so many problems with, you know, actual murder like Ty Cobb, but they got in before the standard was changed now. And I think it's a real shame because it should be about the game, not about what John Smith did in his spare time.
So, I mean, you brought up the steroid era, which, by the way, you know, baseball did seem to profit a lot from those balls going out the park all over the country between McGuire, Sosa, and Barry Bonds. But even though, you know, people are not so forgiving, are you seeing are these guys being lobbied by anyone on their behalf to sort of speed up the process?
It's kind of funny because everyone in the organization acknowledges that they are Hall of Fame players. Mm-hmm. But because of the specifics of the way the induction caliber is listed with their character and their leadership abilities, there's really nothing you can do, and there's very little lobbying that goes on. Because better or worse, most people who cover Major League Baseball for a long time are kind of closed-minded because they've seen it all, done it all. And honestly, in some cases, Gene, they're very jaded, and they kind of don't want to adapt to anything. So there's not much lobbying that can go on. It really is just going to have to take, I believe, another minimum 5 years for some of the writers to decide that they haven't covered the league long enough to, or excuse me, they have not been around the league on a daily basis for a couple of years, and they withdraw their vote. Because I do believe there are a group of voters that will soon have ballots who strongly believe it doesn't matter. Because let's face it, Major League Baseball not only made a lot of money off the steroid era, they were complicit in it. You know, anyone could see that these guys' head sizes were growing exponentially through human growth hormone, and their muscles were popping, and all the other little things with acne on the back when you were in clubhouses after games. And it really is unfortunate, because you have situations like you mentioned with this year where how are the fans supposed to even celebrate that when there were no modern players going in?
Yeah, that is amazing. And Brian, I want to talk about another famous player, Pete Rose. And it's been nearly, 32 years since his ban from baseball for betting on baseball. Yet today, gambling on sports is probably as popular as it ever has been. And you got sports betting operators like DraftKings, who, by the way, has an exclusive partnership with Major League Baseball. But yet Pete Rose is still banned from the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, I mean, do you think this is unfair? And do you think Pete Rose will ultimately get into the Hall of Fame?
That is a very tough one, because this gambling's great. Gaming on sports is fantastic. I know many people enjoy it. I enjoy it myself. What Pete did, though, with betting on games involving his own team while he was managing, if there is a line you don't cross, that's got to be it in my mind. And I just, in good conscience, even though I think I'm open-minded to keeping things separate, that's a tough one to cross, and I just don't see him ever being inducted, because that's, to preserve the integrity of the game, that's a line you just cannot step over. And Pete did, and the evidence is there that he did it many times.
That's great stuff, Brian. I tell you what, man, I don't get a chance to talk a lot of baseball on the show because most of my listeners are NFL and NBA. But I said, you know what, that's got to change this week, because for the first time, I actually got out and saw some baseball. I was in Milwaukee catching the Brewers and the Reds, and I realized how much I really miss talking about baseball. And I'm so glad that you took the time to come on the show this evening.
I appreciate it. It is America's pastime, and for all its faults, it's still a wonderful way to spend the day or spend the summer just paying attention to your favorite team and players, and I appreciate you having me on.
No problem, and also I want to thank you for your contributions to the Baseball Writers Association. Folks, Brian Dulick here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. Great stuff from Brian Dulick here on the Mean Gene Show. And you know what's interesting about what Brian said? You know, we talk about Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. I can honestly say Barry Bonds. I mean, the size of this man's head from when he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates to, you know, when he went over to the San Francisco Giants. Now, there was a time back in 2001 at Pac Bell Park, and I remember I made an attempt to interview Barry Bonds in the locker room, and Barry was very interesting at that time because he would basically shy away from reporters because he knew what the story was going to be about. He knew what the questions were going to be about. And I think he had his daughter with him in the locker room at the time. So I ended up talking to JT Snow, one of his teammates, and I certainly wasn't going to talk to Barry Bonds about steroids and this, that, and the other. I mean, he had just hit a major home run during that game that went into McCovey Cove right there at Pac Bell Park in San Francisco. So that's what I wanted to talk to Barry Bonds about. But it was during that time. It was during that era. And Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, I mean, everyone keyed in on those guys and what was going on in baseball. And Barry Bonds ended up hitting, you know, 700 and something home runs. Just amazing. But what's more interesting, the fact is that Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, I remember Mark McGwire. I saw him at the 1989 World Series in Oakland, California. And this was the Giants versus the Oakland A's. The Earthquake Series, how about that? And I was actually at Game 4, the Earthquake game. I think that was October 17, 1989. I would never forget that. But I saw Mark McGwire, and at the time, Mark McGwire wasn't as big. I mean, I think this might have been the time, you know, maybe, you know, his body was changing before he ended up with the St. Louis Cardinals. But so Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, same thing with Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, if you can recall at one particular time, I mean, it was just a battle. TV ratings for baseball were off the chart because these two guys were just going at it. I mean, baseball couldn't have been more popular during that time when Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, and Mark McGwire were just knocking home runs out of the park like crazy. I mean, no matter what you were doing, you had to tune into a baseball game that night if any one of these three guys were playing. So listening to Brian, of course, and, you know, hey, I mean, these guys performed. I mean, they hit the ball. And one question, you know, that I never knew or could never understand how people could say, well, the fact that you used steroids, yeah, it made you stronger. It probably made you hit the ball a little bit harder, but still, I don't know what it did for your eye contact, being able to see the ball and know when to swing and all that stuff. I mean, because baseball is a very detailed sport, in my opinion, but nevertheless, the strength, I get it. You know, if you probably didn't have that extra power, you know, because you used the steroids, you probably wouldn't have hit that many home runs. And it did take away from the Hank Aarons and the Babe Ruths of the world, Josh Gibsons of the world and all of that stuff. But nevertheless, it was very entertaining. And according to Brian, I mean, these guys will eventually get in. I mean, there's some sports writers out there that just don't think, hey, it's not time. Enough time has not elapsed to where they want to get these guys in. And I do think it will happen. We will see Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and you know, I believe once one of them get in, then I think the floodgates will be open to where some of these other guys are going to get in. And I see that happening. Now, as far as Pete Rose, oh my goodness. Now, Pete Rose, now I have been a strong advocate of Pete Rose, but, you know, and talking with Brian tonight and listening to his comments and you know, Brian, he's got a good point. I mean, what Pete Rose did, the seriousness of what he did. I mean, he bet on games that he actually managed. So, I mean, just imagine you're the manager of your club, which, you know, you're practicing out there with your guys. You got up and coming stars. You got people that really depending on you, but yet you're betting against them or for them or against them. And I think Pete Rose says, well, you know, I never bet against them or what, but the fact that you're betting, I mean, that just takes away from any integrity. Of the game, it does. So, I mean, I can see his point there that Pete Rose may not ever get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And some of the things that Pete Rose has done since being banned from baseball, it's not really helping his cause. I mean, he's done some pretty stupid things since then. And I think now the latest thing I heard from Pete Rose was that he was working with some betting site as far as how to bet on baseball or something. I don't know, something close to that, which is like, okay, really? Pete Rose, are you going to do something like that, knowing that you should not be involved with anything that relates to betting and baseball? And even though baseball had an exclusive contract with DraftKings, you know, and so does the NFL, so does the NBA. So, I mean, betting on sports now, as I, you know, me and Brian talked about during the interview, is very popular these days. And I think that, you know, but it's acceptable. But when it comes to Pete Rose, it's not. And we have to understand why it's not, because what Pete Rose did was the worst. No difference than the NBA official who, and I can't think of his name right now, who was banned from basketball because he was betting on games that he officiated. Same thing, I think, that Pete Rose did, betting on games that he managed, and it doesn't get any lower than that. So, and when you look at it that way, there's just no way that I can see how Pete Rose gets into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I tried Pete. I really like Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Rose was a hell of a baseball player. But, you know, I mean, it's just the unforgivable sin that baseball would not let this guy get in. Another interesting comment from Brian Dulick regarding how the different professional leagues vote on their Hall of Famers. And I agree that the NBA will probably separate themselves from the current process on how they induct their Hall of Famers, because right now it's the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. And that actually honors everyone who has been associated with the game of basketball from the collegiate and the professional level. So when you watch a Basketball Hall of Fame, it's not the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame, which they will be going to pretty soon, which I think is going to be pretty exciting if they do that, because you want to see the separation there. And I wouldn't be surprised pretty soon if the WNBA, you know, because they've been around now for 25 years and they certainly have enough history, enough data there to award their own players separately. Same thing with college basketball, the NBA, the WNBA. I think they're at that point where they should be able to do that. So that's great stuff. So, all right, we're at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, I'm going to be talking New York Giants football with New York Daily News sports writer Pat Leonard here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Mean Gene Show here on KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Sports Kings. You can also follow me on Instagram, Sports Kings Podcast, all one word. And visit our website, themeangeneshow.com. Once again, the show is brought to you by Presidential Limousine by Captain. The only way to truly experience Las Vegas is by riding in a limousine, not just any limousine. It has to be a Presidential Limousine by Captain. Give them a call, 702-438-5466, or you can text them, 702-410-6057. they will respond to you right away. We also brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. If you haven't been to the sports book, you are missing out on one hell of an experience. It's one of the biggest man caves in America. They have huge TV screens with all your favorite sports. And while you're waiting for the game, be sure to grab a bite at the Draft Sports Bar and Grill. That's the Las Vegas Westgate Resort and Casino. Make sure you stop by there and tell them the Mean Gene Show sent you over there. Now, I mentioned right before the end of the first half of the show that I would be talking with New York Giants sports writer Pat Leonard, and that's what we're going to do. But at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that we would have Andrew DiCecco on. Now, Andrew covers the Philadelphia Eagles for 97.3 in South Jersey. So we're going to bring Andrew on the show next week. Okay, my apologies. Eagles fans, you have to wait just one more week. And, I mean, football season is not going to start until September anyway. But don't worry. Andrew will be here. He's going to talk about the Eagles. He's going to talk about Carson Wentz. He's going to talk about Doug Peterson. I promise you we will have him on the show. But for Giants fans, we're going to go ahead and talk with Pat Leonard, New York Giants, interesting football team, of course. A lot of changes over the last few years. Still hard to believe that the New York Giants were the only team that could beat the New England Patriots in Super Bowls. It just seems like it only happened in Super Bowls. Regular seasons, different stories, but Super Bowls, it was different. And what was even more amazing was that it was Eli Manning that was the quarterback to do it. But no more Eli Manning now. The New York Giants, different team now, different head coaching staff. Just everything is completely different about the New York Giants. So we're going to talk with Pat Leonard to see exactly what direction the New York Giants is going to be going in. Last year, that NFC East was a disaster. No one wanted to win the division. I think the Washington football team eventually won that division. So we're going to be looking at the NFC East, and I think we'll probably get someone on from the Dallas Cowboys as well and the Washington football team so we can just clearly look at that entire division. We're going to try to cover every NFL division before the start of the season. So we got a couple of months because it's, you know, moving fast here. OTAs, mandatory mini camps and all of that stuff. And I know you Packers fans probably can't wait till we get to the NFL. See North to see exactly what's going on. We're actually trying to give Aaron Rodgers time to come back. Okay, we that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stall as long as we can to see. And, of course, the AFC West, we will probably save the AFC West for last and see what the Las Vegas Raiders are going to be doing. And great information will be coming from the Las Vegas Raiders in the weeks to come. So we are not going to wait any longer. This was an interview that I had with Pat Leonard talking about the New York Giants. Pat, once again, is with the New York Daily News. My next guest is a sports writer. He covers the New York Giants for the New York Daily News. Please welcome Pat Leonard to the show. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Mean Gene. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to have you on here today. I have to start with the most important question heading into the upcoming season. Who would be the quarterback for the New York Giants?
The quarterback will be Daniel Jones, but the question is whether or not he's the guy for the next 5 and 10 years too. And the Giants have added a lot of talent and a lot of pieces around him for the coming season. But it's kind of a make or break year for him. You know, a lot of quarterbacks now, it doesn't even really take them 3 years to get going. They make that jump usually by year two. The most recent example is Josh Allen with the Bills, making a huge leap as a young quarterback and really going from a guy who was a talented player with some shortcomings and turning into a bona fide MVP candidate as a young guy growing with a Bills team that nearly reached the Super Bowl. And so Daniel Jones needs to take that step for the Giants. Joe Judge and their team played some pretty good defense last year to kind of weather the storm at times, but they were only 6-10, and the main reason was they couldn't score enough points. So the pressure's on Daniel Jones. He's the guy, but how they go is how he goes.
You know what? And the NFC East was pretty much wide open last year. I mean, I think everyone has made some significant changes heading into this new season. I think the Eagles may have made the most drastic ones. Dak Prescott returns for Dallas. Washington looks to improve. What are your expectations for the Giants this year?
I think they could win the division. I'm not going to predict them to, though, at least not at this point, until they show me something on the field. Because even though they have added a lot of players, they haven't been on the field all together at one point in a full practice yet. So can it really come together quickly in a month? You know, Kenny Golladay at receiver, Saquon Barkley coming back off injury. They got Kyle Rudolph at tight end. But, you know, Rudolph and Barkley are still rehabbing, and Golladay only just got on the field for some soft minicamp work. So they're going to need to put it together on the fly. You know, I like what you said about kind of the NFC East and what everyone has done here, because to me, too, I think sometimes fan bases, and for good reason, in the offseason, it becomes hope springs eternal, and everyone thinks they have a shot, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I like the thing I like to say to people is, remember, you have to play somebody else, you know? So you might like some of the new players your team got, but when Washington gets William Jackson at corner and their defense was the best unit in that division on either side of the ball, so they just got better. And then Dak Prescott obviously is going to turn the Dallas Cowboys into the favorite in the division simply because they're the team with the most talent on their roster and the best offense on paper. My biggest commentary on the division right now, I don't understand Washington at quarterback, because they had an offseason where they've kicked the tires on a lot of things. They pursued Matt Stafford before he ended up getting traded to the Rams. So they have been in on these different conversations, but they've ended up with just Ryan Fitzpatrick joining their incumbent Taylor Heinicke. And to me, a team that wants to go from division winner to hopefully Super Bowl contender, you got to have a better solution at the QB position. And I just question whether or not they're really, taking seriously the big jump they need to make there. I think, you know, I was talking to some people in that market the other day, and they said that it's just been there's been so much turmoil at the quarterback position in Washington recently, mm-hmm. that they're almost like settling at the moment because they just need something stable. But I don't think that's the way to operate if you're a franchise really trying to contend for a championship.
Hey, folks, once again, we're talking with New York Daily News sports writer Pat Leonard here on the Mean Gene Show. Now, you mentioned Saquon Barkley coming back from the injury, but I also noticed in the offseason the Giants picked up Alfred Morris and Deion Lewis. So is that just to make sure that they have the running game is solidified?
Well, they've actually let those guys walk in free agency, and they've replaced them. So that was – last year's acquisitions were Morris, Lewis. They teamed them with Wayne Gallman, especially when Barkley went down. And they even brought in Devontae Freeman. This year, they have now attacked that entire depth chart, and they went and got Devontae Booker, of course, as a guy Raiders fans know well. Mm-hmm. And they actually prioritized him in free agency. They called him like one of the first few minutes that the free agency negotiating period opened. They drafted a guy out of Arizona, Gary Brightwell. They have a fullback, Eli Penny, who can tote the rock. And they even brought in Corey Clement as a tryout and then eventually signed him to a low-risk deal. And you remember he was a hero for the Eagles in the Super Bowl a few years back as well. Mm-hmm. So it screams that they're trying to improve their depth. But it also indicates that perhaps Barkley's not going to be healthy out of the gate. And that's a real big question right now that Barkley and the Giants are not answering directly is, mm-hmm. do you really expect to be healthy in week one? And, you know, I think that what they want is for him to be healthy long term. And I do think there's a chance that Booker And I've seen him, you know, at the practices we've watched, he's been RB1. He's been handling the load. The GM said that they like him because he's a legitimate three-down running back. And even though Barkley's a really special player, he struggles in some pass protection. So not only will this maybe help if Barkley takes some time to get healthy, it'll also help perhaps on certain downs where maybe they need some better pass pro, and it just gives them another option as far as a weapon out of the backfield.
Okay. Now, I know you mentioned Kenny Golladay, and that's a great pickup, but what are your thoughts on Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver that you got from the draft?
Yeah, right. Good point. So an electric player, exciting player. The Giants are excited to have him. I know their receivers coach, Tyke Tolbert, told me after the draft that this was, in his mind, the best player with the ball in his hands in the draft. Now, that means nothing negative about Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith from Alabama, but the Giants really feel, and they're not the only ones, that Tony, they keep using the phrase contact balance, which is simply the idea that not only is he twitchy and quick and elusive, but he also has a way of taking contact on his way down the field and not slowing down. You know, he's almost like that rubbery quality, you know, like the Gumby quality. and not only that, but they just don't have a player like him on their team. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. The reason I say that is it's a good thing in that you really want a quick receiver who can play, not only stretch the field, but also could take a bubble screen and go 80 yards, you know, so it puts less pressure on Daniel Jones to get the ball out. The bad thing could be that, and this is a major question, this is not just me, this is people around the league I talk to, it's the question of whether Jason Garrett running the offense as offensive coordinator has what it takes to evolve an offense so that it includes more motion and it enables them to utilize such a unique and versatile asset as Tony in their system, because he really has just always run a traditional, the Norris Turner offense in Dallas. It pushes the ball downfield, but it is not motion heavy. Long story short, Tony looks like the kind of player who would be ideal for a team like the Chiefs, which is always running guys down the line of scrimmage, using a lot of misdirection, getting the ball in their hands quickly in the space. The Giants aren't accustomed to that. That doesn't mean they can't do it, but it does mean they have a lot of work on the coaching end in order to incorporate him for week one.
Okay. Interesting. Good stuff there. And lastly, how much pressure will be on head coach Joe Judge to be successful this season? And do you think he's the right man for the job?
There's a lot of pressure on Judge. There's a lot of pressure on everybody this year. I do think, though, I wouldn't use the word pressure in terms of his job is on the line, because all the reviews from John Mara and the Giants are that Judge is exactly what they were looking for. They wanted somebody who would raise the expectations to what they want them to be here, to what they used to be. I think only one playoff appearance in the last 9 years. You know, that's not good enough.
Right.
And from Judge's standpoint, he has proven so far two things. One, that he will treat every player the same. So, he sat Golden Tate and left him off a trip to Washington last year after he mouthed off during a game against the Buccaneers. He yelled at Saquon Barkley in practice when he did something wrong in front of the whole team. You know, so guys consider that he's fair. And the other thing he did was Bill Belichick has a reputation of preparing differently for every game. So his defense and offense, they could be chameleons to whatever the game plan needs to be. Judge has brought that element to New York. I do think Daniel Jones is on the hot seat. I think Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator, is on the hot seat. I think the GM, Dave Gettleman, remains on the hot seat. Judge certainly invited more pressure by – this was always a rebuild. Or when he came in, this was let's sign better depth, younger players, and let's build this from the ground up and build a foundation so we can be sustainable. By signing so many big-name guys, giving Leonard Williams all the money, signing Golladay, signing Adoree Jackson, and all these moves they've made, they have accelerated expectations. Now this year is not just let's improve. This year is you spend all this money, you got to go win. Mm-hmm. So I don't think his job is on the line this year, but I do think he has invited a lot more pressure on how many wins he needs to squeeze out of this team this year, simply because of how much more talent they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Pat, man. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, and we hope to have you on again real soon.
Mean Gene, it was a great time, and believe it or not, I'm a five-tool guy, you know, and my paper is actually, if the New York Islanders continue to advance here, and if the Vegas Golden Knights advance as well, I am going to be out there in the desert. I will be all, boots on the ground, so look out.
Hey, I know it, man. It's exciting times here in Vegas once again, and I know it in New York as well. Pat Leonard covers the New York Giants for the New York Daily News here on the Mean Gene Show. KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. Great stuff from Pat Leonard. New York Daily News covers the New York football Giants. I will say Saquon Barkley is an X factor for the success or failure for the New York Giants this season. I mean, you know, having Saquon Barkley on the football field just does wonders for the Giants. That run game, you could give it to him so many times, and he's going to move that ball up the field. And Daniel Jones, if Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback going into the season, as Pat has confirmed that he more than likely will, then you certainly want Saquon Barkley on the field. And I tell you what, as far as fantasy football players, and I had Saquon Barkley on the field in my starting lineup when he was a rookie, and oh my goodness, so I certainly miss the guy. Hope he's able to come back and be healthy and give that team a chance to win. Also think that the additions of Kenny Golladay is going to help. I mean, Kenny Golladay is a great wide receiver. And if you heard that name before, then yeah, you recognize him from the Detroit Lions. This guy can catch anything thrown his way. And I don't know what happened with Detroit there. It seems like that, you know, Detroit lost Matthew Stafford and Kenny Golladay. So that team is going in a different direction, but it's got to be a great addition to the New York Giants to have Kenny Golladay and someone for Daniel Jones to have as an option. You just got to have someone that you can, you know, pitch it to as a running back with Barkley and throw it to. And we also talked about the wide receiver that they picked up in the draft. That's going to help them as well. So it seems like the Giants are trying to go in the right direction. And I thought the comments regarding Jason Garrett was interesting, because Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator. As you all know, Jason Garrett spent years there with the Dallas Cowboys as the head coach, and now he's calling plays for the New York Giants. And Pat seems to think that if Jason Garrett is not successful with this offense, and it seems like they're setting him up to be successful, if he's not successful with this offense, it could be Jason Garrett on the hot seat, not Joe Judge, the head coach. Now, I disagree with that. I have a different opinion on that one. I ultimately think Jason Garrett might be the next head coach of the New York Giants, because, you know, when you look at Jason Garrett is only responsible for the offense. Joe Judge has a bigger responsibility. Not only does he have to make sure this offense is going to gel and it really needs to be successful for him, but he also has to worry about this defense, and the Giants defense just has not been one of those defenses that has been great over the years. So we should see, because the division is wide open. With the exception of the Dallas Cowboys have to be the favorite to win that division. The Washington football team, I don't know. I mean, last year, nobody really wanted it. The Washington football team won that division with, I believe, a 6-10 record or something like that. It was just horrible. Everyone, the Philadelphia Eagles are going in a somewhat different direction there. So it's just up for grabs. And it's certainly, you know, the Dallas Cowboys there, if you can get two teams in from that division, I highly doubt it, but you just never know what's going to happen in the other NFC division. So it's possible anything, but I tend to think that it all depends on Daniel Jones, and if he's going to start and finish the season. And if Jason Garrett has success there, and if, say, hey, the defense is the one that's, you know, causing them games, you got to think the Giants management is going to look at that. So knowing that they have a head coach there in waiting, which should be very interesting. But, you know, like I said, the division is winnable. And, you know, my question is, will Daniel Jones finish that season? Will someone else actually be the quarterback of the New York Giants? So Pat is right also. Hey, how about that? The New York Islanders and the Vegas Golden Knights could actually meet in the Stanley Cup Finals. That would be interesting. So Pat will probably has the chance to come out to Las Vegas and cover that. That will be interesting. Well, both of those teams actually have to win their games now to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So that is it for this week. And yes, we are still keeping an eye on the NBA playoffs. We have not forgot about what's happening in the NBA. We should be in the conference finals by the time we come back next week, and we will continue our NFL coverage. I want to thank my guest, Brian Dulick from the Baseball Writers Association. Brian, I mean, it was just great having you on the show. And Pat Leonard, of course, who we just spoke with, who covers the New York Giants for the New York Daily News. And I have to thank Ray Lee Cadenhead, who brings us these great guests. It's just amazing. She will contact me throughout the week and let me know who's coming on the show. I have absolutely no say-so who's going to come on the show. I might tell her, hey, this is what I want to talk about, this, that, and the other. Some baseball, some football, what have you. And she will go out there and make it happen. I mean, it's just amazing. So thank you, Rayleigh, for getting these guys on the show. And of course, next week, as I did say, we will have Andrew DeCecco, who covers the Philadelphia Eagles, on the show. We would definitely be talking Philadelphia Eagles football next week here on the show. So for you, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. Enjoy your weekend. Spend time with your families. Hopefully they will take care of dad, because mothers just get spoiled. Now, I'm not really trying to compare or anything. I just know that mothers, they get the works. Fathers, we get what we get, but mothers, they get the whole kitchen sink and then some. But we get what we get, the ties, you know, the ugly ties that we'll wear them maybe for one day or so, but anyway, we get something, right? All right, so enjoy the rest of your weekend. We will be right back here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas.